Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We need to – you and I are fired up today about a lot of different things. Our man Chris Sanders needs to needs to bring us back down to earth. Needs to – I mean, because, look, it's we've been feisty this morning, Chris. What's up?
Man, what's going on? Y'all doing all right, man? I know y'all been going crazy over this basketball, but, man, I watched a little bit of it. It's been crazy the whole time.
Yeah, how's Ohio State doing?
See, okay, let's start this conversation all over. See that?
I had to sorry about that. Man. I'm sorry.
Hey, the women are in there.
That's true. That's right. let's start with this.
Oh, my gosh.
The news coming out about 45 minutes ago, Christian Fulton signing a one-year deal with the Chargers.
Whoa.
So he will leave the Tennessee Titans. Not a huge surprise. I did kind of think that the longer it went that maybe they'd circle back around.
Yeah.
But he was somebody that he was good when he was available. But he just couldn't stay healthy. So I'm hoping that he can do that with the Chargers.
I mean, it's funny because you can be the greatest player in America. You can have the best technique in America. You can have the best drills. But if you're not available to show your skills, it's not going to be anything. And everybody ever talked about that when he's on, he's on. I mean, he can be a good cover corner, but if you're not available to be out there to help make plays, it's not going to make a difference. Kind of like the same situation with Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks is a big physical specimen, a guy who can make plays downfield. But if you're not available to be out there to participate in the game, it's not going to be a great asset for the team.
So the Titans finalized their coaching staff, and, I mean, they have brought in quite a bit in the strength and conditioning department, which is something that we've talked about, you know, under Vrabel of you had guys with soft tissue injuries and pulling things.
Sure.
And so it feels like it has been quite the focus for Brian Callahan and for Rand Carthon to bring in folks that can help in that sense. Like, what are you looking for as a player when you're going into workout and take care of your body?
You know, I'm going to tell you a guy who I really respect so much, and I look at him as my brother, Steve Watterson. The reason why I love Steve Watterson, we understood that he knew what he was doing in the weight room. He understood about nutrition. But the one thing I love about Steve Watterson is I had a relationship with him, and he had a relationship with all the players. And I think with the strength and conditioning guy that's coming in now, I understand he's going to help their soft tissue. I understand he's going to help them with those things. But once he builds a relationship with these guys, then he can understand how to meet their needs. And I think that's so important. I know it sounds kind of cliche, because we as coaches, we always talk about let's have a relationship, and it sounds cute. But the one thing I love about Steve Watterson is he made sure he prepared the athlete. If it was stretching, if it was, you know, getting a little extra nutrition, or even before the game, he spent time with them on the field to make sure that they were all taken care of. So I think that the new guy that's coming in, once he understands, which he probably does understand, is building a relationship with these guys and meeting their needs. I think it's going to be a good relationship that they can build.
Chris, can you imagine going to Mike Ditka and telling him you got a soft tissue injury?
Man,
what is this nonsense?
He'll tell you to wrap it up and take
rub some dirt on
it. And put some Robitussin. You know, every time somebody's sick, they say use Robitussin. That's probably what he would say. But, you know, I think it's just a different era. Back in the day, you can really get away with it. But I think at this time, the game is so physical and the game is so demanding that you really have to take precautions to make sure, you know, guys are taken care of. And just imagine, just like what you talk about, Mike Ditka, you go into Mike Ditka and say, oh, I got a paper cut. He'd be like, man, what are we talking about? Get out of here.
Yeah, you did like Vince Lombardi, same thing. I can't go today. I got a soft tissue injury. Vince Lombardi would kick you to the moon and back.
Just imagine me going to him and say, hey, man, I can't go, man. You know, I got a bunion on my toe. He'd be like, what?
You can bunion that toe to the cut room. You can take care of yourself. Let me ask you this. Did you have a pro day when you were at Ohio State?
Yes, I did. That's what put me on the map, though. You know, I had a good combine. But what propelled me to the third round was my individual workout, because it's the combine, I think I ran 4.4 or 4.39, something like that. I can't remember. But in my individual pro day, I ran like 4.27, 4.28, to where it really took me up. And then also when I ran my drills, I ran my routes, and they understood that I wasn't a track guy playing football. They were like, this guy's a football player that happened to run track. So when, you know, the teams that actually saw me up close, they saw me physically, they saw me run my routes, they saw, you know, how I responded to adversity, and that's why I went to the third round. But the crazy part of the whole situation, Big Joe, is the team that picked me was Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans. They never talked to me through the process. They came and they picked me, and I didn't say not one word to them. Unbelievable.
Fisher never called you, Floyd Reese? Nobody called you? No scout?
Nobody. Chris. Nobody. I didn't even talk. Nobody talked to me. And the thing about it is, because I don't know if they thought I wasn't going to be there, so they didn't talk to me. Because the teams that talked to me the most was the Washington Commanders.
They were the Redskins. They were the Redskins. It's okay.
I want to get in trouble. But it was the Redskins at that time. I mean, they put me on the board. They talked about coverages. They talked about all these things. I never even talked to the Houston Oilers, and then I get to the draft, and I'm sitting there with my mom, and, you know, they walk up to the podium, and they say the Houston Oilers, you know, take, you know, wide receiver from The Ohio University, from Ohio University, and I got picked, and that's how the situation happened.
So nobody,
Chris, Jeff Fisher, I think you'd really be good on our team.
Nobody called you beforehand nobody, and said, hey, we're going to pick you.
Their cousin, their uncle, they and nobody called me. It was just – it was the weirdest thing because, in my opinion, I thought I was going to Washington because they show so much interest. I never talked to any representative from the Houston Oilers, and next thing you know, the 67th pick of the third round, Christopher Dwayne Sanders, the fifth, gets picks and go to the Oilers.
Hey, what was it like the first time you met Bud Adams?
It was cool. You know, rest his soul. I think it was a great owner. But I shook his hand maybe once or twice. But I was afraid. I mean, because when you're talking to the owner, I was afraid. So when I first talked to him, you know, I just shook his hand. I told him it was honored to be on the team. But the only time he really shook my hand is I remember we were playing the Denver Broncos. And I scored, you know, two touchdowns. I had one of my best games. And then he came into the locker room. And then he shook my hand and said, way to go, Chris. And I kind of adjusted that way.
I thought he would have thought you were somebody else. Apparently that was a thing with him.
Can I share the story?
Yes, please share the story.
Okay. We were in Vanderbilt. And, Vanderbilt had those small locker rooms. So he would walk in. And just imagine, my name is Chris Sanders. And you switched the nameplate. You put Drew Bennett. So he would he will walk in and he would look at the nameplate and he would say, nice to meet you, Drew Bennett, but I'm actually Chris Sanders. So that's
I would have done
he
that.
He thought you were Reggie Roby.
No. One time he called me. No, I thought he was going to call me, Lance Schulters.
Oh, there you go.
No.
You walked up and, oh, my goodness. No, I was just curious because, you get drafted by a team. They don't talk to you. I find this all fascinating. Crazy.
But you know what's funny is he knew Eddie George, he knew Stephen Arrested, so and he knew Bruce Matthews. That's all you need to know. I mean, you don't need to know.
Well, that's who he's paying the most money to. I'd know those guys, too.
Exactly. That's, I don't want to say it, but that's exactly what it was.
Chris, I want to ask you this. Sure. You know, I asked Joe, and we kind of got into a debate yesterday about, have the Titans put Will Levis in the best position to succeed? And he took it as just by the offense. I feel like the whole team, you know, that is going to factor into the quarterback's success, because if you've improved the offense enough where you're putting up, you know, 24 points a game, that's great. But if you got a defense that you barely addressed that's giving up 27, that's not going to help the quarterback. He's throwing the ball more. So how do you view – and I know it's incomplete. They still get the draft to go. Sure. There's probably going to be more signings. But how do you view how they have put Will in a position to succeed to this point?
I think they've done a pretty good job. And I think the one bright spot of that is when you're getting Calvin Ridley. I know, you know, Hop has done a great job. But when you get a guy the caliber of Calvin Ridley, he's a guy that makes it easy, because sometimes you can throw the ball up and just let these guys make a play. And then I think there's another position that I think is very, very important that we don't really talk about, is a center position. When you get Lloyd Cushenberry from the Broncos, that takes a lot of pressure off of Will Levis. Because if you look at last year with Brewer, no disrespect to Brewer, last year he gave us 6 sacks and I think 34 pressures, and he's 6 feet 274. But then now you get a bigger body with Cushenberry that gave up 1 sack last year and only 14 pressures. When you hear statistics like that, you're like, okay, this is a little comfort level, knowing that I'm not going to hit. But now you got to address the left tackle position in the draft with Joe Alt or whoever you get at the left tackle position, but you address some issues. Now we talk about the situation with defense. If the defense can just, you know, hold the other offense from making a lot of plays, now it takes a lot of pressure off Will Levis, because he doesn't have to be Superman. He can just rely on his defense when he makes a mistake.
Hey, do you coach track at NBA at all?
Yes, I do. I love it. I coach the relays, man. I absolutely love it. That's my favorite sport.
One of my favorite people in the world, now that I figured this out, is Coach Jan Pippen. Tell her I said hi.
Oh, she's the best. The real deal. Look, let me tell you something. I've been around a lot of great coaches. When you talk about a young lady, I call her a young lady because she is – she knows her craft. She was a great hurdler in high school. I think she holds the 110 hurdles. But the one thing I love about her is she's relational with the team. She teaches them nutrition. She teaches them the right technique. And she includes all the coaches so we can better these kids. And she's one of the best coaches in the state of Tennessee.
She also went to high school with me, so that makes her even better.
So was you an athlete? Was you pretty? Did you don't tell me? Did you run track?
I was the anchor on the 4x400. And by anchor, me, I didn't go anywhere. I set my fat ass down and got beat every time. That's what I did. I'm the heck, I didn't run track. Good Lord!
I would love to see you run a 440. Because if we both run,
hell, I can barely drive 440. I can't. That's bad enough, man.
Hey, he was a hell of a long snapper. That's
right. That's all you got to know, pal.
That's it. That's all that matters.
Well, tell her
that's
I said hi today. I think she's the best.
I sure will, man. Appreciate you.
Chris, appreciate you as always. We'll
love
talk
you
next week. Yep, love
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it, guys. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the show. We will get back. There's so much to get into today.
Can I do my rant again for the 10 o'clock audience?
Yeah. Okay. We'll do your rant again next and talk about the tournament and look at some of the games today. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Friday. I hope you're having a good start to your day so far. Day number two of the NCAA tournament coming up. And yesterday, obviously, Kentucky was the biggest upset, biggest surprise of the day. And I am of the belief that they should move on from John Calipari. Our general manager, Sean Fort, who is from Memphis and a huge Memphis fan, said, hey, bring him on home to Memphis.
Don't want that.
I'm sure they'd love him there just to get more banners taken down. And
so Memphis only has one Final Four now. Well, that I remember was they went in the mid 70s, but also
they were Memphis State then, right?
They were Memphis State, man. I was back in the day in Memphis. I go down to Mid South Coliseum and watch a game or two. You know what I'm saying, man? then the 85 with Keith Lee, one of my all time favorite college basketball players.
They good wrestler.
Lost in the Final Four up in Lexington, Kentucky in 1985. But 08 was off the books because Calipari and the cheating and all that. So I don't think he gets fired. You think he does. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this too. I also think it is the dumbest thing in the world when somebody gets caught cheating to vacate wins and take titles away and put the asterisk and take Heismans. And like we all know that it actually happened. And all you're doing is going into a computer and hitting delete, which is just stupid. So I mean, what's done is done. Punish the coach. Just say you can't coach again. But, you know, I don't think you should punish the kids.
No, not at all.
By taking that away because they live the moment.
They do. All right, time for my rant, folks. You've heard in the last hour. I'm going to give it to you again. This proceeded last night. Samford University got absolutely and royally screwed by referees in the Kansas game. Late in the game, we'll play the audio for a second. Kansas played a breakaway. A Samford guy ran down the court, blocked from behind, all ball. They called a foul. Kansas made free throws. The game changed. It was awful. And here's what happened.
90-89. Kansas gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run.
It's a block.
And he missed the shot.
Did they call a foul?
He went for the jam, should have gone for the layup.
Awful. It was the entire audience and the outing. The crowd was booing. The announcers, you've heard it right there, like, what in the world? Here is, Dr. Crane, we go. Here is Samford University coach Bucky McMillan, who probably should be Vanderbilt's next basketball coach. This dude's the Drew Maddox of Alabama. He wins state titles. He's beloved. He's a great coach. Here's what Bucky McMillan had to say after the game.
I have seen the play. I thought AJ made an incredible play on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not faulting the call. You know, some people can see it different ways. But I was really proud of our guys' ability to go make a play. And at the end of the day, you know, AJ's recovery there, if there is no whistle. I'm not blaming the whistle, but there's no whistle. We're going to have a numbers advantage going the other way to advance to round two. That's how close the game was, and that's how well our guys played because we were down by, what was the maximum we were down? So we're down by 22 when we're going to have the ball there, you know, however much time left going the other way with a great opportunity. So, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. You got screwed. There should be no reason for this. We have reviews. We have technology. We have a thing you could say, look, that was a bad call. It's okay if you make a bad call. Overrule the call. There's no reason we keep going on like this. These kids are getting screwed left and right like this. I know they're big. I know they're fast. I know they're running down the court. I know refs have a lot going on, but there should be somebody else helping them say, all right, that's overruled. That was a bad call. It's okay if you make a bad call. As I said, only one perfect person has walked planet Earth, and it wasn't a damn referee. It's okay. We have technology to go forward. It should not happen in baseball. Should not happen in football. Should not happen in any sport anymore. We have the means to do this. I sound like the commercial for the $6 million man. You know, we have the technology. We can put them back together. We got the technology. Put it together. Don't let these kids keep getting screwed over and over again. Samford got royally screwed. And I'm not saying this because I was the worst student who ever attended Samford, because I was. But these guys got – this could be any school. This could be Duke. This could be Duquesne. This could be Creighton. This could be Tennessee. Don't wait till it's your school. Fix it. God, my back hurts.
Do you feel better?
Not really, because they still lost.
People are asking if I can get you a decaf.
No. We're going to do this again? Why do you drink decaf coffee? Why? We've had this argument. Thank you.
That's your angry music.
Get it out.
Let it out, Joe.
Why do you make decaf coffee? It's a waste of time. I don't know why you make why do you drink decaf coffee? It's insane. People who drink decaf coffee are insane. You guys are insane. It's like left-handed people. You're all insane.
Hey, now. All right, so to your point, they got to get it right. And I would rather, you know, we were talking about this earlier. People on the text line, you know, some were saying review it, and others are saying, well, then you're adding to the game. I don't care. You can add 15 minutes to the game for all I care
right. If
you're going to get a critical call at a critical moment in the game correct. Like, I don't care. Get it right. And, you know, in some ways – they'll do that, and then in some ways they won't. And, you know, I get TV windows, and that's tight and all that stuff. I don't care. Get it right.
Yeah.
Go over, huddle up, go look at the monitor, you know, have whoever in a war room somewhere looking at it and go, hey, that's clean. That's not a foul.
Right. What was the baseball – well, the guy had the perfect game, and the umpire blew it at the last call. The Detroit Tigers were playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forget what it was.
Was that Galarraga? Yeah, it was like Andre Galarraga or something.
Why
like that.
Did they not review that?
They didn't have replay then.
But that's an example.
That was one of the reasons. That was one of the things that happened that ended up leading to replay. And, you know, here's the thing about baseball. Everybody fought replay in baseball. Like, all the purists. I remember hearing Willie talk about it. It's just everybody was adamantly against it. Because, you know, you can't take away the human element and all that stuff. Now that they have it, like, I don't think anybody's complaining.
No, not at all.
Because they're getting stuff right.
Right. And then, you know, I'm not saying challenge every single, like, oh, you slapped him on the hand. But there are instances like this where we all reacting like, that was not a foul. That was not, somebody should say, all right, hold on. You know, when there's a stoppage of play, you go back and say, hey, that's a wrong call. It's okay. And refs like, hey, you know, I thought it was a foul. I got it wrong. Replayed show that. It's okay. We forgive you.
Matthew in Nashville, that play last night is a classic example of why college basketball, men's and women's, needs the NBA coaches challenge rule.
What is that? I've heard that many times. You guys are
so
great.
So what is it the last – or is it throughout the game? It's kind of like the NFL. You get a challenge.
You get a challenge, and they do this little, like, finger wag thing, like a home run, and they go review it, and it's getting the same
thing.
Oh,
I got a finger wag for you.
Oh, boy.
All right, I got it for the refs. So
I agree, though. Like, I don't know why now with all the replay angles and cameras and HD and 4K and technology that we have that, you know, somebody doesn't just come out and say, hey, every sport, college, pro, whatever – is going to have replay and have coaches challenge. Like, I don't – to me, like, you got VAR in soccer, which I actually think they do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, pretty with
that. You know, baseball. I mean, hell, in NASCAR, like, if it's a close finish, they go and look at it. Like, I mean, it's just like – just get it right.
The thing I have a problem with the review systems, I feel like all referees and leagues, they all have, like, stationary – cameras that like go-to cameras they use in certain angles. Well, now, I mean, when I was watching the Soul series with the MLB, they had a 4D camera where it was just revolving. Like it was like a turning revolving camera. Why don't they have that for review? Why don't they have those cameras up for review? Because if you have those type of cameras, then you're going to see everything, like literally everything.
Kevin says, I'm giving Big Joe some decaf coffee, non-alcoholic beer, and left-handed scissors for his birthday.
Did you see my reply to him?
Left-handed pinky shears.
You know that's from?
No.
From the Simpsons episode?
Oh, yeah. The Leftorium. Yeah.
Left-handed pinky shears. In case you ought to know, we're massive Simpsons fans.
You haven't figured that out. Coming up next, you know, this is actually a perfect segue because we can ask Jeff about this. Jeff Hem, play-by-play for the Nashville Sounds, going to join us. The season opens next week, but made a pretty big announcement yesterday that we're excited about. We'll talk to Jeff. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game.
Huh?
Oh, dear.
No, Mom, it counts as a hit. Dad just won the game.
Oh, well, I guess he'll be happy when he comes to.
One of the greatest Simpsons episodes of all time. Homer at the bat. Such a good one. Baseball is almost here. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. The Nashville Sounds open their season at Toledo next week, and the man that'll be on the call will be Jeff Hem and joins us now. Jeff, I can't wait. How are you?
Good morning, guys. It's good to be with you. I can't wait either. This is a great time of year in the sports world for all kinds of reasons, and a big part of it is baseball getting cranked up. And we are 1 week away from being in Toledo to get opening night kicked off, and then a few days later at First Horizon Park on the 2nd of April. So it's here, and I'm looking forward to it and thrilled to continue with the Cromwell family as we announced officially yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, this is what, season 12 for you? Is that right?
I think that sounds right. 2012 was my first year. I guess it depends on how we count 2020 when there was no season. But yeah, it's been about a dozen years. It's crazy how fast it goes.
So, you know, the funny thing about this is when I started here at Cromwell at 102.5 The Game, the Sounds games were on 102.5, and one of my first gigs was producing games with you on the weekends, and we had fun, you know, talking during the breaks and quoting Major League, and that's kind of how my career started. And you know, you started here in Nashville, and it's hard to believe 12 years later here we are talking about an extension, and I'm just excited that you all are able to remain in the Cromwell family, and most of the games being on 94.9 The Fan. We will air every game if there are conflicts with Preds and playoffs and Vandy and all those things. You'll either be on here on 102.5 or 93.3 Classic Hits, but we're just very, very excited about this partnership continuing to grow and moving forward.
Well, I'm excited too. I'm most excited though, Chase, that despite those early years of your career when you were forced to work with me, you've still been able to progress and climb your career despite all the hindrances that working with someone like me can present. You've been able to climb, which is a great accomplishment by you.
Well, I think it was because of all the troubleshooting we were able to do at the old Greer Stadium of getting the broadcast going. But we powered through. That is for sure. So what do you think about this club? Is you know, obviously the Brewers, the parent club, you know, get ready to chase the World Series. But what are the Sounds looking like coming out of spring training and getting things started next week?
Yeah, I'm excited about the team that it looks like we're going to have. Zooming way out, it's going to be pretty similar to most years where you're usually at AAA having a combination of some young homegrown players and then some guys who come in as minor league free agents or trades or what have you from outside the organization. The bottom line from a Sound standpoint is that because our parent club continues to be the Milwaukee Brewers, who are the reigning NL Central Division champs, even though they've got a couple of names that people are used to seeing in Milwaukee, that aren't in that starting rotation right now. Corbin Burns off to Baltimore and Brandon Woodruff recovering from an injury. Those are two big rotation pieces that the Brewers have to replace. They're not a rebuilding team. They still have contending division championship aspirations, and so they're trying to build their team that way, even if they don't have a Burns or a Woodruff. They still have Freddy Peralta. They've got some young, dynamic position players that we've seen come through the Sounds, Sal Frelick, Bryce Terang. It looks like the 20-year-old Jackson Churio, who we saw briefly late last year, number one prospect in the game, according to many. It looks like he's going to make that club, which, you know, is kind of disappointing from a purely Sound standpoint because he's so fun to watch that it looks like, at least initially, he won't be in Nashville. That means somebody else who could have been up there may not be, whether it's a Joey Weimer or a Blake Perkins. The Brewers are loaded in the outfield, so I think the Sounds are going to have a really good outfield. They've got a guy who used to be in the Royals organization by the name of Brewer, which is a fitting first name, Brewer Hicklin, who's an exciting outfielder that looks likely to be with the Sounds. I would say it feels likely at this point that Tyler Black, who's a top 50 prospect in the game that we saw for the last couple of months of last year, probably is with the Sounds in the infield on opening day. And then another pair of top 50, top 100 prospects in the game are also likely to be Sounds. A 20-year-old catcher by the name of Jefferson Caro, who was outstanding last year at AA and is, I'm told, just ridiculous at throwing out base stealers and can hit a little bit too. He's likely to be in the Sounds catching core, and he might even be catching, if it's not opening day or soon in April, it's likely to be at some point this year, a 100-mile-per-hour fastball-throwing prospect by the name of Jacob Mizorowski, who's one of the top pitching prospects in the game. So you've got a contending Brewers team that's young and still has mainstays like Willie Adames and Christian Yelich and has added some other pieces around it. William Contreras behind the plate up there. You've got that group trying to win a division again, and a really good farm system that's going to send a lot of young talent to the Sounds. So there's no reason to be anything but excited about what the Sounds are going to look like this year, because when you're AAA for a contending big league team, they're going to need you. They're going to need their depth. They're going to call on guys a lot. I think they used about 60 different guys in Milwaukee last year. So, you know, opening day is always fun, and the opening day rosters, you know, a lot gets made of those. But there's a six-month season after opening day that you know guys are going to come and go. And I think it should be a good group both in Nashville and Milwaukee.
Jeff, part of the by the way, we're talking to Jeff Hym, who is the best announcer, baseball announcer in America, and I will fight anybody who disagrees. Jeff, part of the deal with the great Cromwell Media is the fact that on occasion, unannounced, I get to sit in with you and help call games. So thanks for...
I wouldn't have it any other way, Joe.
Thanks for signing off on that and do that. I still tell people, Jeff, this is how amazing you are. What was the game the Sounds played like 22 innings and you were by yourself? And it was a master class in sports broadcasting that night. Do you remember that?
I do. We've had some long nights. You know, the funny thing about you joking that you're going to come see me, it never seems to happen when it's 12-0 in the second inning and I can really use you, Joe.
Right.
You know, you show up tie game bottom of the ninth, and I'm like, Joe, we don't need you right now. So just, you know, try to time your visits to the booth a little bit better this year, would you?
I will do that. Well, how long did that game go? Because I think I listened to it in my driveway. It was like 2:00 in the morning. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, if I can't remember if you're thinking of one at Greer or more recent. We had a game, I think it was 2015, the first year of the new ballpark, and it was against New Orleans, and it went, I want to say, 17 innings. And that definitely was a, you know, midnight 12:30 post game show where you're like, all right, I just want to go to bed, you know.
Right.
We've had some long ones. It may have been that one. There were some long ones at Greer too, but I remember the first year of the new ballpark against New Orleans before they did the, you know, runner starts at second base in extra innings, which is a wonderful rule, by the way. Before that, you know, it was it was just sort of like, all right, who's going to throw the ball away down the right field line or let a run score? I mean, and that may have been what that game was about. I think it went 17 innings.
Yeah, that was it. It was at First Horizon. That's when it was, and I remember listening to that. And the great thing about this, you know, as radio's evolved and sports has evolved and this and that, radio and baseball, Jeff, will forever go hand in hand. It's just an amazing sport to do that because there's so much silence that goes along with that. Like football, it's like going, 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 basketball, going. And you do a great job calling basketball. But something about the purity of baseball on the radio will always hit you in the heart forever.
I mean, I'm with you. There is definitely a kind of a power to it and a loyalty to it and a kind of a camaraderie, I feel like, that baseball on the radio has. That, look, you mentioned it. I love a lot of other sports. There are a lot of ways we all consume sports and media these days. But I'm with you that baseball on the radio is a special thing. I think part of it is games are pretty much every day. We play 150 between home and road. And other than Mondays, there's a game every day. So there's that part of it. But like you said, it's conversational. You got to let it breathe a little bit. You can't treat the fourth inning of a 5-0 game like it's the bottom of the ninth. So there's just, I always like to use the phrase when I'm welcoming people on the air, I'm glad you're along for the ride tonight. And I mean that in all the connotations that can come with that, because there are ups and downs and long nights and quick games and walk-offs and blowouts and no hitter potential and 3 homer games. There's such an unpredictability about it. And then the medium of the radio for baseball is just such a perfect match that, that I do feel like it's kind of a ride that you and the listener are on each night, but then also over the course of the season, it's pretty cool. And I don't take it lightly. I don't take myself too seriously, but I take the job seriously because I think it's a powerful thing.
Well, Jeff, it gets started a week from today at the Toledo Mud Hens, a 250 pregame on 94.9 The Fan. We are looking forward to it. And then April 2nd, the home opener at First Horizon Park. Can't wait. Going to spend a lot of nights at the ballpark, as you know, and we will come and say hello in the broadcast booth. Thanks so much, my friend.
Can't wait, guys. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Jeff Hemm, voice of the Nashville Sounds. And, again, we are thrilled to be partnered up once again with the Sounds. Majority of the games on 94.9 The Fan, there will be a few conflicts. They will shift over to 93.3 Classic Hits. We're right here on 102.5 The Game. Come back, put a bow on things on this Friday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. Putting a bow on things. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. And got some basketball games to watch, too.
We've put off celebrity birthdays. In case you're joining us, they have found the body of the missing college student Riley Strain in the river this morning. So in lieu of that, it's just to talk about love the ones you're with, take care of your people around you, and it's just a sad. I mean, closure for the family, Chaser. It's just sad news all around. But they found the body of the college student.
And like the thing is, unfortunately, we live in a world where bad things happen every day. I'm one of those people that. And you're the same way. I try and focus on the positives and the good things, but then there's some stories that just kind of they hit you in a different way.
Yeah.
And I just think about how many times when I was 22, 23, being out, whether it was downtown Nashville or in Murfreesboro or whatever in college. And look, we've all been there. We've all been
everyone
young and dumb and, done these, thought we were invincible. And it just is a reminder that life is precious.
Yeah.
And you got to watch after your people. And like my thoughts and prayers are not only with his family, but with the friends that were with him that night and everything they're going through right now. And I mean, cause times happen when you wander off and all that
it
stuff.
And there's just time to debate what happened and what went on. But right now,
it doesn't matter at this point. Yeah. A young man lost his life.
Exactly.
And so it's just, it's hate tragic. That news. I think the longer this went on, we unfortunately knew that it probably wasn't going to be a happy ending, but it I guess the thing that I pray for now is, that his family has some bit of closure, but I don't know if you ever really get that.
Good point. And we leave you every show, every day. To our guys out there, look, if you're struggling, having a tough time, I tell you every day on your cell phone, you can dial 988. There's somebody there always to talk to you. If you need to reach out and talk immediately, you can talk to myself, Chase, Dr. Crane. We're always here for you. Let you know that we love you. I mean, that God put you on this earth for a purpose, and our world is a better place because you are here. It's okay not to be okay, and that we love you, and please know that.
peace, love, rock and roll. Give somebody a hug this weekend. Have a good weekend. Have a safe weekend. Enjoy basketball. We'll be back at it Monday at 9, but Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up next, and you can join me and Teron Davenport this afternoon. We're in for Jared, 2 to 6 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.